And I'm looking forward to this series as we've been preparing for it already. The theme of it is Consider Christ. Consider Christ. And so we're going to turn in our books to lesson number one and in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. And does everyone have a Bible? We should have got some Bibles out and had those available. They are available out on the bookshelf. Brother Barry, you see the Bibles over there. Does anyone need a Bible? Maybe everybody has one here. Everyone has one. Okay, I think we're fine, Brother Barry. Thank you for that. And just wanted to make sure of that. We do have, as I said, we do have some visitors today. And Jyoti is here today. She's visiting for the very first time. If you haven't met her yet, get a chance to meet her when the meeting is over. And she's been watching our services online, and we praise the Lord for that. And as it turns out, she lives just in the neighborhood here, very close by, within walking distance. And so we praise the Lord for her being here. And then Addie is back there for the first time. How old is Addie now? Almost 5 months old. And so he was born in all of this that we've all been going through. And of course, unfortunately, we haven't been able to have a meeting like this yet in this particular way. And so we're glad that Addie is here. Dad's got the Bible open there, showing it to him. That's good. And praise the Lord for him. 5 months. Wow, time goes by really fast, doesn't it? And so we praise the Lord for you visitors that are here with us today. And those of you that are here for the first time in a while for a meeting like this, welcome to Anchor Baptist Church. And thank you for joining us online all these months. My goodness. And the journey continues, but I'm glad to have something in place. If you are wanting to be on a rotation list, those of you that are online and in here, if you're wanting to be on a rotation list like we did at the hotel, please let me know if you haven't let me know that already. Don't worry about A, B, and C. Those lists are done. They've been shredded. So don't think about those. We're going to start brand new lists. I'll have new names for them too. And I haven't figured out a creative name yet for the groups, but I'm trying to figure something out. But seriously, we're going to begin a rotation of you being able to come here in person beginning on the 13th of June. The 13th of June. Of course, next Sunday is the anniversary. That's going to be outside, God willing. I think everybody here knows about that. And right now, I think I've only got maybe about one seat left for that. But if you want to be on the rotation list and you haven't let me know yet, please do that as soon as possible. I'll be getting those out to you as soon as possible. Okay, Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. And we're going to read at verse number 2. And boy, what a powerful passage of Scripture this is. And I'm sure it's already helped you many times in your life. And the theme of the lesson is basically the theme of the entire series, and that is Consider Christ. Consider Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And here it is, for consider him. Consider him. Consider Jesus Christ, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege of being in church this morning. Thank you, more importantly, that we have a Bible as believers, and we have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us to help us to understand God's Word. We need the Holy Spirit to be the teacher today, so empty us of ourselves, whether we're the listener or the speaker, and fill us with your Spirit. Father, we pray for those that are joining us online right now. We thank you they're able to come by way of the internet. And we pray that if there's anyone that's joining us online that is not saved, that you would bring conviction upon their heart, because really this lesson is so vital for salvation. There is no one else to consider when it comes to salvation. It's Jesus Christ and Him only. And so I pray, God, that you would draw the lost to yourself today. Even those that we've been witnessing to and praying for, they may not be on this service, but we pray that even on this day, it would be the day of their salvation. And then we pray, Lord, for each and every one of us who already know you as Savior, but yet every day we must consider you. and follow your will for our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, when you think about considering Christ, we could even go and think about, in a sense, our daily life. In our daily life, all kinds of choices come our way. In a very simplistic sense, you know, maybe you have more than one choice of cereal at home. Okay? That's pretty simplistic, right? And you've got Apple Jacks. That's really healthy, isn't it? And then you've got Lucky Charms. We're getting healthier every time here. And, of course, then there's Grape Nuts. Is that even, can you eat Grape Nuts? I mean, do you know what those are, Grape Nuts? Do you remember those? And, no Grape Nuts for me. And maybe Wheaties or something. The point is this, that there's choices and things that we consider all the time, whether it be something as simplistic as something to eat for the day, but that's not really what we're after. But point is that there are decisions and voices, if you will. There's people clamoring for your attention that need your help, that want you to help them, that want you to do this. And, you know, we as well are, even in our own way, we like to call the shots. We like to be in control. We like to set the course for the day. But that brings us to this particular study, and I pray that over these next 13 weeks that God will speak to our heart, that each and every day we come back to Hebrews 12:3 for consider Him. For consider Him. In whatever way your life takes you in a given day, come back to that theme, for consider Him. And so the greatest need of any day that you and I have is to bring our thoughts and attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have family concerns, you may have health concerns, you may have spiritual, financial, whatever, but if you focus only on those things and you don't consider Christ, then I would say this, that the enemy is winning in your day and in my day. And so we need to try to work our way through all of that and come down to the most important consideration for the day is the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has for our day. Now, I'm thankful that when we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, He will renew our mind. He will renew our joy. He will renew our strength. He will meet every need that you have. If we try to meet the need, guess what happens? Well, we don't always meet them, right? But when we focus on Him and when we consider Him, He will do the job to its fullest. Specifically, considering His attributes, we're going to be looking at those throughout this series, which we would say His characteristics, not only His, you know, His works, His miracles, which are wonderful, but His characteristics, His attributes, as we look at them. But today, in our lesson number one, we are going to look specifically at His person, at His person. Just who is Jesus? So in your notes there, number one, consider His position. Consider His position. Verse 2, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. So, where is Jesus right now? Here's the answer to that question, okay? He's not in your heart, all right? It's okay to say that, but that's not where He is. The Holy Spirit is in your life, in your heart, okay, as a Christian, all right? Where is Jesus? Well, it says right here that He is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And at some point in this series, we'll learn more about that, but that's where He is today. You know, when is the last time we just took a few moments to ponder, to think about who Jesus is? Who is He? You know, who is He? And we would ask ourselves that question, and I think we would all come to maybe some similar conclusions, but in other ways, I think we would come to various conclusions of who Jesus is. Now, we know specifically Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Son of God. He's co-equal, co-existent with God. But that's who He is in the sense of His. But you could think of Him like in our devotions this morning. If you follow along in our devotions, it talked about Him being the shepherd. The shepherd. Wow, that's who Jesus is at times, right? We need that shepherd who's protecting us, leading us, showing us the way not to go, showing us the way to go. And so we consider his position. Leading up to the 2000 film, The Ten Commandments, I don't think I saw that film, but maybe you did. A research group surveyed over 1,000 people to discover how much they actually knew about the Ten Commandments. Think about that, the Ten Commandments. 80% of those who were surveyed knew that a Big Mac was from McDonald's and had two all-beef patties, and 62% knew that a Big Mac had pickles. Did you know that? We just saw someone doing one of these numbers. I think you'll be going to McDonald's after church, Brother Tejada, for Big Macs. And I do have to admit that is my favorite. That's my favorite burger at McDonald's. But I will say I've not had a Big Mac in a long time. But I do love that special sauce: lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. You can tell I grew up in an era when they had that commercial, if you remember that one. But we're headed somewhere with this. 80% knew that a Big Mac was from McDonald's and that it had two all-beef patties. 62% knew that it had pickles. But here's the in the survey, only 34% knew that remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy was one of the Ten Commandments. So they knew more about fast food than they knew more about the Ten Commandments. 30% knew that one of the Ten Commandments was not to make any graven images. Only 30%. So unfortunately, these people knew more about fast food than they knew about Ten Commandments. What am I saying? I'm saying that we need to be careful that we not allow the things of this world to consume us to the point that we know more about what's going on in this world than what's going on in God's Word. You know, the things of this world can bring fear to your life. I don't know about you, but possibly there's been people that have been under more fear in the last 18 months than in the previous 18 months of their life. And we can talk about that, but the point is this: I'm going to look at him. I'm going to consider him. We have a choice to make, don't we? We have a choice to make every day. Are we going to consider the news, or are we going to consider Christ? Are we going to consider what is popular, or are we going to consider the Prince of Peace? The Lord Jesus Christ, so consider him. Letter A, he is the preeminent one. The preeminent one. Preeminent. The word preeminent means to hold first place. It means superiority. Notice the word author in our text. Looking unto Jesus, the author. The author. The word author there indicates that he, Jesus Christ, is the originator of our faith. You don't buy faith at the store, right? We don't come up with faith on our own, you know, and sitting around and saying, I'm going to have faith, I'm going to have faith, I'm going to have faith. No, we get it through Jesus Christ. He is the author and the finisher. Author meaning the originator of our faith. In Acts 5, verse 30 and 31, the Bible says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. To be a prince and a savior. The preeminent one. You remember where in the Bible it refers to him as having the preeminence? If you have the notebook, it might have this verse there. Colossians. Turn over to Colossians chapter number 1. We'll come back to Hebrews. Colossians chapter number 1. You'll forgive me today, but I feel like I should be looking up at a camera. I feel like I want to look at you and your eyes. And so I'm kind of like I'll go beyond that euphemism because I'm not sure where to look. And look to Jesus, amen? That's where we all need to look, you know. Forget the rest, consider Christ. And I need to follow my own advice, all right? But we'll have you come up and try it sometime. And you let me know how it works, and you can help me, give me some advice. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 16. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. And we'll skip down to verse 18. He is the head of the body, the church. Amen? That's who's the head of Anchor Baptist Church. It's not the pastor. It's not Pastor Nathan. And it's not the members. We members. It's Christ. So when we want to know what to do in the church, what do? Consider Christ. We don't consider our will. We don't consider our wishes. We consider His will. His will we must do. And so, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, there it is, He might have the preeminence. The preeminent one. The preeminent one. I want to encourage you to take time this week to consider that Jesus Christ is preeminent and allow Him to be preeminent in your life. Recognizing it mentally that He's preeminent is a good start, but that needs to travel down into my heart, into my spirit, that He is preeminent. That I need to follow His will every day. That's a great prayer request to start your day. God, I want Your will to be done in my life today. I have a plan, but I want Your will to be done. If it means my plan needs to change, change my plan. May Your will be done. He's preeminent, meaning He's to hold first place. He's superiority. Letter B. Letter B, not only the preeminent one, but letter B, the perfect one. The perfect one. He alone is perfect. No one like Him in this respect. As we go back to our text in Hebrews chapter number 12, now looking at the word finisher. Finisher. This means He is the one who perfects or completes our faith. The author and finisher. I think of someone who is a finisher in respect to carpentry. I am not one like that, okay? I can pound a nail in occasionally here and there, hopefully in the right place, and not hit my thumb. But I'm definitely not a finisher. But maybe you know someone who is, or maybe someone online is a finisher. And wow, it's amazing what someone with that ability and hard work has put into it can do. And God's Word tells us that my faith is complete only in Him. He is the perfect one, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. He's the finisher of our faith. He's the preeminent one. When we got saved, the very moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God, as we said earlier, took up residence in your body. And in that very moment, the Holy Spirit of God began to work in you. And He is working in you today. And He is working in me today to make us what? More like the Lord Jesus Christ. He's molding us and shaping us and transforming us to be more like the Lord. I don't think this part is in your notes, but maybe you want to jot these down, and maybe they are in there. I actually didn't look at the student book part of it yet. But number one, as we think about Him being the perfect one, His ways are perfect. His ways are perfect. I can tell you today, and I'm sure you would agree, that we do not always understand His ways. I'm sure in your life you have come to a place at one time or another that you would say, I would have done it a different way. This is not the way I would have chosen. But His way is perfect. His way is right. His way will get you to the destination that He has for you. And so think about it. Where would you rather arrive at? Your destination or His? His. Then along the way, we're going to have to just say, hands off the wheel. You know, Jesus, take the wheel, right? It's Your way. And it's perfect. That it is those times when things come into our life that we don't understand the way God is moving, that we have to trust that His way is perfect. Everyone here this morning and everyone online this morning has a testimony. You have a testimony. I'm not necessarily speaking only about your salvation, but I'm saying your life has, you have a story. Remember that tale that is being told? Everyone has one. And the songwriter said, let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His love can fill your soul, and you will see. Right? Let Him have His way. Why? His way is perfect. Moses said it in Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. The psalmist said in Psalm 18, verse 30, as for God, His way is perfect. And in verse 32, Psalm 18, 32, would you turn over there quickly? I'll give you a moment to find that one. Psalm 18, 32, you need this. I need this verse today. Psalm 18, 32. It is God that girdeth me with strength. God gives me strength. But notice the second statement, and maketh my way what? Perfect. There you go. God, have your way. I need that perfect way. Oh, I think it ought to go this way, but God, if that's not the way it should go, I want to go the way you want it to go. Because I want the end result. I want it to be perfect. I want it to be complete. I want it to be mature. I want it to be right. So His ways are perfect. Number two, His work is perfect. His work is perfect. This is underneath letter B of number one. So small one and then small two. His ways are perfect. His work is perfect. Warren Wiersbe said, Christ has already run this race of faith and conquered for us. He goes on to say, He is the author, the pioneer, the trailblazer, and finisher of our faith. So what is he saying? Brother Wiersbe is saying, he's with the Lord now, he's saying that we're following after, we're considering Christ, and as Christ lived his life, he lived the perfect example of faith. And we're following his example. Why? He is the Alpha. He goes on to say, the Omega, the beginning and the end. What he starts, he finishes, he can see us through to victory. Ephesians 4:13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is working to bring His will in my life. And I say, let's not prevent Him from doing His will in our life. Let's allow Him to have full control. We're all in a race. Sometimes it's walking. Sometimes it's skipping. Anybody like to skip? Sometimes, there we go, all right, good. Sometimes it's sprinting. I don't like to sprint anymore. No more sprinting for me. I like a nice even pace. The point is, we're all in different lanes of life if you're thinking about a race around a big track. And God is trying to accomplish something in each of us here today and us online here today for His glory. And there's going to be a day where God says, okay, your race is done. Your race is done. Come on up here. Come home, my child. Your race is done. Until then, we must continue to consider Christ and His will and His way. His work, His ways are perfect. So we consider His position. Number two, big number two, we consider His pattern. Let's go back to Hebrews 12. We consider His pattern. Christ endured the cross, despising the shame. That's what it says in our text. Verse 2. He lived a pattern of walking in victory. Well, that's what we need. We need a pattern of walking in victory. That's how Jesus Christ walked. One step at a time. From beginning to end, letter A, we see His victory over temptation. Temptation. Goals in the Christian life help us to have a mature relationship with Jesus Christ. They help us to be stronger and closer to Him. But when we set goals in our Christian life, The enemy doesn't just run away and say, oh, I see Barry down there. He's set a goal. I'm just going to leave him alone. No, in fact, the enemy wants to distract you or prevent me from growing in grace. He wants us to not accomplish what God would have us to accomplish. And so when we think about victory over temptation, remember the passage in the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter number 4. Maybe you want to turn over there and just look at it. We're not going to read the entire passage, But Jesus Christ sets a pattern of victory over temptation. That's the beautiful thing about Jesus Christ, God's Son. He was in the flesh. He was tempted in all points, like as we are. So he endured temptation, all right? You endure temptation, and I endure temptation. So did Jesus. So if he was victorious, and he was, how did he overcome? Well, it's laid out for us. I think most of us know, but again, we need to not only know it, but we need to apply it to our life. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be what? What's the next word? Tempted. Tempted. That was the goal. And notice in verse number 3, when the tempter came to him. Who is the tempter? Satan himself. Satan is still doing that today. He's doing that in your life. He's doing that in my life. He's tempting us. The Bible says that Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And so the first temptation was in relation to food. Look at verse number 3. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And Jesus answers Jesus answers the devil with Scripture. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We're going to notice three things that Jesus overcame, he did as he overcame the temptation of Satan. Let's look at these. Number one, who led Jesus into the wilderness? God's Spirit. Okay? So what does this tell me? This tells me that even if I'm led of the Spirit, that it's possible that temptation can still come into my life. That even if I'm controlled by the Spirit of God and I'm saying, God, your will be done today, there's still a good chance that temptation is going to come. But the important thing is to be led by the Spirit, not by the flesh. If I'm led by the flesh and that temptation comes, it's not going to end well. But if I'm led by the Spirit and that temptation comes, the Spirit's going to help me to overcome the temptation. We see that in verse number 1. So every decision that we make, I think as Christians, we sometimes are only considering big decisions to be led by the Spirit. You know what? I believe every day there are little things that are not really little. That we need to say, God, I want to be led by you in this. God, lead me today who I need to pray for. God, lead me in the direction I need to take, driving or whatever. God, I want bring people across my path today that I could share your love with, show your love to. You know, we were about to get a new job or look for a new career or buy a new house or buy a car or all these other things. And, you know, these are major decisions, and they are, yes. But, you know, we need God's leading every day. Just in the, I call it the humdrum of life. But we need God's leading. I do, and I'm sure you do as well. So we need to be led by the Spirit. Paul said, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, Galatians 5:16. So Jesus was, number one, led of the Spirit. Number two, what do we see here? Jesus prayed and fasted. Verse 2, the Bible says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Jesus' physical body obviously would have been weak. And we know that he was 100% man. He felt pain. He was hungry. You remember when Lazarus died? He grieved. John 11:35, your famous go-to Bible verse, if it was scripture memory time, it would be John 11:35 because it's only two words long, and you could have a verse memorized, Jesus wept. There's one more, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore, in case you needed a second backup. But it has more letters, so it's not as short as the other one, okay? But in all seriousness, Jesus hungered. He got tired. He had to get apart from the work of the ministry. So he was 100% man, but he was powerful beyond the fact that he was, beyond the fact that he was the Son of God? Was there a closeness to the Father? Was there great strength spiritually from prayer and fasting? All of these are yes. Why are we seeing this? Because we have the same opportunity. We have the same opportunity in a life of prayer and at times of fasting. We have the same opportunity that the Son of God had to have spiritual strength and endure temptation. And again, if I have no time for prayer, then I better be very careful because I'm going to be susceptible to fall to the temptation that Satan is bringing my way. Jesus prayed and fasted. Number three, the one that we mention most often when it comes to Jesus' temptation, number three, is Jesus quoted Scripture. And when the tempter came to him, Matthew 4:3, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. We looked at that already. Here's something. There is no victory over sin without the power of the sword of the Spirit. What is the sword of the Spirit? It's God's Word, that's right. It's God's Word. How well do you know God's Word? You say, not well enough. You're right, none of us do. We all need to be students. No matter how many degrees we have, Faith Bible Institute, Bible College, whatever it may be, discipleship, it's just we all want to be disciples, constantly taking in the Word of God and growing in grace. This is our sword. This is our powerful weapon that God has given us. And thankfully, He's given us Himself and His Spirit inside of us to help us to understand it. So His victory over temptations, and I hope that you'll meditate and consider that, but we must move on. Letter B, His victory over trials. His victory over trials. We go back now to Hebrews 12. And verse 3 tells us that He endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. God, in His sovereign wisdom, will allow trials into my life to strengthen me. God, in His sovereign wisdom, will allow difficulties and trials into your life, not because He doesn't love us, He loves us unconditionally, but to strengthen us. In fact, James says it this way, that when we come into various temptations, diverse temptations, okay? That's not divers as in a swimming pool, okay? It means different kinds. James chapter 1. He says to count it all joy. Wow. I'm still trying to work on that one, aren't you? Count it all joy when different trials and struggles come in our way, in all different shapes and sizes and colors and smells and sights and sounds. Here comes another one. Here comes another one. And James says, count it all joy. Why? Because the trying of your faith worketh some things. The first thing it works is patience. When you go through trials and difficulties and you come to the end of it and you trust the Lord and you trust the Lord and you come to the end of that particular difficulty or trial, it could only be a short one. It could be just a day. It could be a week. It could be a month. I don't know. It could be a lifelong. And I'm not trying to be discouraging. The point is this: God is always faithful. And so what does it do? The victory over the trials strengthens us. Let patience have its complete work by letting God do whatever He's trying to do in you. Don't rush Him. He's got a perfect plan in mind. So, His victory over temptation, His victory over trials. Then, big number three, consider His passion. His passion. Look at what it says in verse 2. Who for the joy that was set before Him. What was set before Him that brought this joy? Not what we would think would bring joy. It was what was set before Him from the beginning of time. Even as far back as Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Adam and Eve had fallen, and God even put it into place right there that the seed of woman would bruise the head of the serpent. And while Jesus had not taken on his human form yet, he was still in heaven, if you will. He had not come down and been born of the Virgin Mary. But it was set before him. What was set before him? The old rugged cross. That's what was set before him. Luke 19:10, many of you know that from memory. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. What was set before him was the purpose of his coming. And the purpose of his coming was suffering. The purpose of his coming was to be judged by his Father for your sin and mine. And the Bible says here that it was joyful. This was his passion. It wasn't water to wine that was his passion. It wasn't blind to sight. It wasn't feeding 5,000 with just a little morsel of food. No, it was the cross. The cross was his passion. To leave heaven's glory was not appealing, was it? There was nothing about the cross that was attractive. Everything about the cross said pain. Everything about the cross said death. Everything about the cross said the fallacy of the crucifixion, because he was innocent. And yet it was his passion to lay down his life and be a ransom for many. And if you're saved today, you're part of that many. Praise God for that. It was his passion to endure the mockery. Quickly here, letter A, what was his passion? Letter A, to glorify his Father. To glorify his Father. Jesus' whole purpose was to glorify the Father by doing the will of the Father perfectly. Did he do that? Yes, he did. Look at John 17 quickly. John 17. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven. This is the Lord's prayer. This is the high priestly prayer. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is Jesus praying to his Father. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. We bring honor and glory to Christ by glorifying the Father. That was his passion. I pray that we would have as a desire to bring glory to God. Not only was it his passion to glorify his Father, but letter B, we kind of touched on it, his passion was to redeem the world. To redeem the world. Verse 2 says, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Notice the words set before him. I started to allude to this earlier. It tells us and teaches us that Christ was appointed to do this work. He was the only one who could do this work. It was a plan put forth before the foundation of the world by God himself. It was a plan of love. It was a plan that would allow a sinner like me to be forgiven. It was a plan that would allow sinners like each and every one of you here today in person and you that are joining us online, it was a plan that it would allow us to be forgiven. Once and for all, to be redeemed, to be bought back with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ willingly carried out the plan of his Father. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, God's word says, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Look at that, before the world began, but is now made manifest or made known by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death, who brought life and immortality to light through the what? Through the gospel. It's God's will today that you be saved if you're not saved. He's not willing. We said it over and over again. He's not willing that any should be perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I know some of you are praying for family members, and I'm praying with you, and I'm praying for family members, and I'm praying for people that I've come into contact with and you've come into contact with. They might be good moral people, but they're not born again. They're not saved. Some are related to you. Some are a spouse or a family member, or a child or a husband or a brother, a sister, a cousin. And on it goes, a co-worker. And what we need to do is we need to continue to pray that God would bring conviction upon their life. And that's the theme of the afternoon service, conviction. And godly conviction is good. I was reminded of that by a note from Ina. Ina sent me a message yesterday about someone that she had been helping. I won't give name, but someone that she had been helping in the home where she worked. She's not working right now. Pray for her. Pray that God would continue to bring healing to her body. But she, and even in the midst of going through all of this, there's another co-worker that she works with who's a Christian. And on our prayer page, if you have our prayer page and you find number seven, look down there and you'll see some names of three people that we've been praying for that she helps there where she works. And a week or so ago, my timing might be off a little bit, one of the other ladies that's there that's a Christian, spoke to this individual the gospel again. Miss Ina has shared the gospel with him numerous times, and he said, no. And then, I don't remember if it was a week later or a few days later, they approached him again about the gospel. Things led to spiritual things, and they said to him, would you like to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior today? And before they could get that out of their mouth, he said, yes, I would. And this man got saved. A few days later, he died. Can you believe that? Days is all he had. But he took that last breath, and instead of going to hell for all eternity, he opened his eyes in heaven for all eternity. Why? Because Christ Jesus fulfilled the task that he was sent to do. And then someone here on this world said, I care for that man. I've got to give him the gospel. Praise God for the saving power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, lesson one, consider Christ. I hope and pray that this week you won't go into a day and we won't go into a day without having that on our mind. Consider him. I'm about to meet with somebody. Consider him. I'm about to go to work. Consider him. I'm about to go to school. Consider him. I'm about to go to the doctor. Consider him. Whatever it may be, always consider him.